In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory forever.
We have in the church a certain class of feast, which is given to a saint of a certain rank, calls for what we call a polyalean service. Service that's more festive than the typical. It's a more festive form of matins than the usual daily matins. And this polyalean name, the polyalean service or the vigil class service, is named for a couple of psalms that we sing at the service. We sing them every Saturday night at the resurrectional vigil, but also for the important saints. Psalms 134 and especially Psalm 135, the psalm of many mercies. I sang it last night, or part of it for those of you who are here at vigil. It starts off, "O give thanks, O Lord, for His good, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks unto the God of gods, for His mercy endureth forever. O give thanks to the Lord of lords, for His mercy endureth forever." And all the way for 26 verses, each of which ends with, "For His mercy endureth forever." And so it's called the many mercies psalm, or polyalein in Greek. Poly meaning many, and aleon or eleos for mercy. But indeed, all our services here in the Orthodox Church, especially to outsiders, could well be called polyalein services, couldn't they? It's one of the things that visitors typically notice early on, is that we seem to say, "Lord, have mercy," a great number of times. This morning, the Divine Liturgy, for example, we will sing or say, "Lord, have mercy," no fewer than 74 times. I counted them. I'm not sure I got all of them, but there's at least 74. If you were here for the third and sixth hours before the liturgy, you'd say it 134 times more, at least hear it that many times. And if you stay for the prayers of thanksgiving after communion, there'd be another 16 times. So the whole Sunday morning experience, you would hear or say or sing, "Lord, have mercy," no fewer than 224 times. In too many years, this seems excessive. Why do we say, "Lord, have mercy," so many times? Isn't once enough? Or maybe we can be generous and say it three times and be done with it. Why do we need to say it a quarter of a thousand times on Sunday morning? Well, it's not because we have to talk God into something. It's not that God is stingy and hard of hearing and that we have to say it a multitude of times to make Him hear us. It's not like the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel with Elijah, crying out to Baal with Elijah, mocking them, saying, "Shout louder, maybe he's sleeping. He's on a journey. If you speak up, maybe he'll hear you then." We don't say it as many times for that reason. We don't say it because God is stingy and, you know, that. But if we pester Him enough, like a child who nags and nags and nags until he gets what he wants, God's not like that. We don't have to nag Him to give us the things that we request. And so that's not our motivation. Part of the reason is because to pray with our whole heart, with our whole attention, to really say these words and mean them may take us a few times. The first few times we may come late, or the first few times we hear, "Lord, have mercy," we may just hear it as words. It may take our hearts a while to warm up. It may take us all 225 times for us to say it two or three times or even one time well, the way we should, and really mean it. It's also training and praying without ceasing. We're called to pray without ceasing. Just because we said it 5 times 10 minutes ago doesn't mean we don't need to say it at this moment. Do we need God's grace at this moment? If we do, then saying, "Lord, have mercy," is totally appropriate, even though we just said it recently. But there's more than this. Part of the reason saying, "Lord, have mercy," sounds excessive to us is that we may have a partially wrong conception of what we mean when we say, "Lord, have mercy." Perhaps when we hear the refrain of the augmented litany, "Lord, have mercy, Lord, have mercy," you know the one. Perhaps when we hear that, really we're thinking in our minds, Lord, don't punish, Lord, don't punish, Lord, don't punish. Or maybe it's like this, Lord, don't kill me, Lord, don't kill me. Or, Lord, don't hit me, something like that. Or maybe it's simply, you know, Lord, forgive me, Lord, forgive me. But very often, this is the conception we have of mercy, that it's about God not punishing us, God not killing us, not beating us up, or then forgiving us for our sins. And so we might well ask, as some visitors do ask, if you've confessed your sins and God, you believe that God's forgiven them, why do you keep having to say, Lord, have mercy? Well, the reason we keep saying it is because it means more than just these things. It's true, in part it means don't punish me, even though I deserve it. It means forgive me, for I've sinned. But this isn't all it means. If we don't understand that, we will maybe fall into that category of people who get frustrated with the repetition of Lord, have mercy. This mercy, eleos in Greek, is typically the word used in the Septuagint for the Hebrew word hesed, which denotes God's faithfulness to his covenant despite the unfaithfulness of his people. His righteousness, his goodness, his faithfulness. And we see this, if we look at the psalm I mentioned at the beginning, the Polyolean psalm, let's see what it's talking about here. It gives us many expressions, many manifestations of God's mercy. To him alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. God's mercy is tied up in the creation and making the world the way he made it, to serve us, to provide a home for us. To him who made the great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and the stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. And then it goes on to his deliverance of Israel out of Egypt, his people. To him who smote Egypt and their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea and departs, for his mercy endureth forever, and made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings and slew famous kings, Sihon king of the Amorites and Og king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for a heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Who give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. All these things, his creation, his delivering his people out of bondage and feeding them in the wilderness and giving them the promised land, and giving them victory over their enemies, all these are manifestations of God's mercy. Mercy doesn't just mean forgive me and don't punish me, does it? If we consider, too, a psalm that most of us know by heart, or hear frequently, Psalm 22 in the Septuagint, but we know it in the West as Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That means I shall not be in need, I shall not have lack of anything, I'll have what I need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, he leadeth me beside the still waters, he restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. And the Septuagint concludes this psalm by saying, and thy mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. All these things here we've just described in this psalm that have been described by David are manifestations of God's mercy to us, providing for us, protecting us when we go through the valley of the shadow of death, making sure we have what we need. And so when we say, Lord, have mercy, we say, Lord, have mercy when we have a petition, we respond to one of the petitions of a litany, We're not just saying, forgive me. We're not just saying, don't punish me. We are saying those things, but more. We're asking that God would give us all the good things that we need, the things particularly expressed in the petition, even though perhaps we aren't worthy of them, even though perhaps we don't deserve them, even though we can't come to Him and say, and demand them and say, God, you have to give these to me. Here I have a contract and you have to fulfill your end of the bargain. Give it to me now or we'll see you at court. Saying, Lord, have mercy recognizes our unworthiness and our need. But it also recognizes God is merciful, as a lover of man, the philanthropos, the one who loves man and seeks our good. And out of His goodness pours out His good things upon all flesh, on the sinners and the righteous alike, but also gives extra blessing and good things to those who serve Him and follow Him. And so this is what we ask when we say, Lord, have mercy. We say, Lord, have mercy for our children or our husbands. We're asking that God would be good to them even though they don't deserve it. We ask, Lord, have mercy for ourselves. We're saying the same thing. Even though I don't deserve it, show thy favor upon me. Give me thy good things. Make me to see good all the days of my life. Even though really if I had justice and got what I deserved, I'd be a whole lot worse off than I am right now. So always be careful about asking for justice, because you may get something you didn't bargain for. And so as we go through the liturgy and the services of the church, I'm crying out, Lord, have mercy. We understand we're not just asking God for forgiveness. We're not just asking Him not to punish us, but we're asking that He would pour out His abundant goodness on us. Abundant goodness that we can't demand, that we can't earn, that we don't deserve, that He in His infinite mercy and love wants to give us as we ask Him and as we come to Him in humility and faith and love. So each of us, as we draw near to the nativity of our Lord, His birth, may we perceive God's mercy. May it gladden our hearts. May each of us experience it in much greater measure. To Christ our merciful God belong all glory and worship together to the Father and the Holy Spirit, always, now, and ever, and unto ages of ages.